from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
The Jews murmured about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and his mother? Then how can he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
So, we are in week three of our five-week journey through chapter 6 of John's Gospel, which is called the Bread of Life, this verse. 2 Sundays ago, we heard how Jesus miraculously fed over 5,000 people with the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and the fish. Last Sunday, we heard how the people reacted. They said to Jesus, "Give us this bread always." And then Jesus talks about manna. I want to be sure that we all understand what exactly this manna is that Jesus talks about. We actually heard about it in the first reading from the book of Exodus last Sunday. What happened? The Jews are in slavery in Egypt, but through a series of miracles, God rescues them from slavery and leads them into the desert on their journey to the promised land. When they got into the desert, after seeing God's glory rescue them, the first thing they did is complain. They grumbled against God and against Moses. As they said, "In the desert, we have nothing to eat. In slavery, we have food." And God said to Moses, "I have heard their prayer. I will rain down bread from heaven upon them." And that's exactly what happened. The very next day, every morning for the next 40 years for that desert journey, they found a sweet tasting substance on the ground that they were able to gather and sustain them through that journey. And again, just as miraculously, the moment they entered the promised land, the manna stopped. That miraculous bread from heaven that God rained down is the manna. It's interesting when you think about it. Jews to this day, Orthodox Jews, religious Jews, you know, they take particularly the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, the five books of Moses, very, very, very seriously. And when God said, "I will rain down bread from heaven," they believe exactly that. Jews then, Jews today, believe that this is truly bread given to them by God from heaven. What's also interesting is that Jews today, Jews then, believe that this manna was pre-existent. In other words, that manna existed in heaven before the creation of the world. Before the fall of Adam and Eve, that manna was in heaven. Just as interesting is that Jews then, just like Orthodox Jews today, believe that a sign of the coming of the Messiah will be the return of the sacred manna. Very interesting. So Jesus, those listening to Jesus knew all this. They understood this. So Jesus uses the image of the manna to reveal two mysteries. The first is the mystery of his divinity, of his heavenly origin as the bread of life. And the second is the mystery of his real presence in the bread and wine of the Eucharist. This bread and life, bread of life discourse, chapter 6 of John, has got two parts to it, part 1 and part 2. And we've been reading part 1 so far. And part 1, basically, Jesus says, the summary of it is, we heard today, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life." There is an emphasis on faith. There is an emphasis on belief. Before Jesus talks about the sacrament of the Eucharist and the eating of his flesh, the first thing he says is, first, you need to believe. You need to believe that I have come down from heaven. That's also very important for us, because before you and I can even begin to enter into this mystery of the Eucharist, first we have to believe that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is God. Now, when he says, "I am the bread that came down from heaven," he is making a divine claim. No human being comes down from heaven. All of us human beings are creatures created by God. The same is not true for Christ. Christ is a divine person who assumed a human nature in the miracle of the Incarnation at the Annunciation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So he is claiming to be pre-existent, just like the manna they understood to be pre-existent. And the Jews listening to him, they understood exactly what he was saying. They knew exactly what he means. And they were scandalized by his saying that. What was their response? They were saying, "How can this be? We know him. We know his mother and his father. We knew him as a little boy. How can he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" And what do? They grumble. They grumble among themselves. And what does Jesus say? He says, "Stop your grumbling." What did we hear in the first reading last Sunday from Exodus when the Jews got into the desert? They grumbled against God and against Moses. Jesus is carefully choosing that word to bring their attention to their ancestors who were rescued from the slavery of Egypt, and grumbled because they refused to believe that God saved them and God is still with them and will continue to save them. He very definitely alludes to that exodus from Egypt. And then Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father draws him." Very important words. What do they mean? Jesus is saying that for them, so too for us, to believe in him, to believe that Jesus is Lord, is in itself a gift from God. Our faith is a gift. Always remember that. Faith is a gift. It's not something we do. It's something God does. He pours his grace into our hearts and our minds and gives us this gift of faith. So many times I hear people, you know, think that my involvement in ministries and so forth, I'm doing God a favor by doing that. It's exactly the opposite. Our involvement in the life of the church is but a small sign of our gratitude for the great gift of faith that God has given us. So the fact that you're all here today, all of us have faith. Take a moment, certainly today, maybe something we should do every day, and thank God for that faith in itself, because that faith is a gift. And so, with these words from the gospel today, Jesus brings part one of the bread of life discourse to a close when he says to those listening to him, "Whoever believes in me has eternal life." If you think about it, over the past 3 weeks, including today, Jesus hasn't really said anything about the Eucharist yet. He hasn't said anything about eating his flesh or drinking his blood. That comes next week. He first prepares his disciples, those listening, for that great mystery. And he uses the image of manna to reveal his heavenly origin. The first point he makes is they need to have faith in him. If there were three words to summarize the first part of this Bread of Life discourse, they would be believe, believe, believe. You must believe in Jesus before you can begin to enter into the mystery of the Eucharist. That's why we prepare people for their first Holy Communion. Why don't we say to children, "Okay, you're 7 years old now, come on up and receive communion." What do? We prepare them. When adults want to come into the church, why don't we say, "Okay, come on up for communion"? Why don't we put them through a program of preparation that we call RCIA? Is this some rule the church made up? No. This is following the example of Jesus, who first has to prepare people for this gift of the Eucharist. And then it's only at the end of today's gospel that Jesus starts to shift gears a little bit and starts to use different words. Instead of talking about believing and talking about his divinity, he begins to focus on food and drink. He starts now to tell them that they're prepared, that because he is the bread from heaven, they're not just going to have to believe in him, they're also going to have to consume him. And then Jesus begins the revelation of the Eucharist as the new manna that they have been waiting for. But you're going to have to wait for next week's gospel to hear about that. I don't want to steal the thunder of whoever is going to be preaching next week. But I hope you see that the bread of life that Jesus gives his disciples is both his teaching and the breaking of the bread that we call the Eucharist. So many people today stop halfway. They focus on the first part of Jesus' teaching, the part on they have faith in him. And by stopping there, look at all they're missing. You know, sometimes when people I would know well, and non-Catholic Christians get up the courage, they come to me and say something like, "You don't really believe that, do you? You don't really believe that Jesus is personally present in that piece of bread." I turn their question around on them and basically say, "You mean your God can't do that? Mine can." When we have faith in Jesus, when we believe in him, and we consume him, his body and blood, in the Eucharist, we become one with him in the most intimate way possible. And we see that this was God's intention from the beginning. This is what the book of Exodus was pointing to. Eternal life begins now, right now, for those who are one with Jesus in word and sacrament. We take on a new life. We take on the life of Jesus. We become his eyes, his mouth, his hands, his feet, as we continue the propagation of his word in the world. That's what it's all about. We offer our lives as a sacrifice for the sake of the world. That's what we're called to do. That's why in so many ways it's appropriate that today is our Mission Appeal Sunday. You probably realized that when you walked into the narthex there and you saw the pictures of our adopted parish mission of St. Edward in Kerala. Many of you were here some years back when Father Sebastian's sister, Sister Rosemary, visited. Many of you remember when she was here. She makes Father Sebastian look like a giant. a little tiny sister. And we've been helping them now for a number of years. Their old church, the roof leaked like a sieve. The ground of the church was not paved. It's a very rainy part of the country, so the floor of the church was often mud. Well, good news. Thanks to our help, the new church has been finished. There's some pictures of it out there. It's been dedicated, and it looks absolutely beautiful. Beautiful. So now you're saying, well, what does she want money for now? Well, as you see in the pictures, they also have a school. There's a picture of the school, and there's a picture of the many children who go to that school. And there's also a picture of the typical kind of house that the children live in with their families. And there's even one picture, the cover of the bulletin, when you pick one up, you can see. It's what you and I would probably call a shack. It's not luxurious, to say the least. One of the pictures shows a mother with her young daughter standing in their house, which is really just a blue tarp held up by some poles. And I was in contact with Sister Rosemary earlier this week, and she said there's one thing that this school doesn't have. It doesn't have a playground. There's no place for these children to play as they escape that poverty. But she said there is a nice piece of land there that would make a great playground, except it's got one problem. She said it's wetland.
Now, that's what we here in Florida call swamp, right? And her request to us is really very simple. She wants to drain the swamp. And she needs our help because we know how difficult that could be. So often, you get, I trust the church and so forth, but you get these envelopes for foreign missions, and you probably you wonder, where does that money go? I'm sure good things happen with it, but we are so blessed in the sense that we know exactly where, we take up our second collection today, where that money is going to go. It goes from that basket directly to Sister Rosemarie in India, so she could use it to help build a playground for the children at the Catholic school. What a simple, loving request. Our generosity in those sorts of efforts is an example of the dynamics of the Eucharist working in our lives, of extending the love and mercy of Jesus to people who, in many ways, have nothing. So our second collection today is for our parish mission in Kerala, India, St. Edward. I thank you for your generosity. And if you're not prepared to give today, I think even next week you could still, there'll still be some time. You could simply designate on your offering that this is for our mission in India. Now, once again, thank you and God bless you for being so generous.